Welcome to Creative Mind Living, a podcast for people interested in personal growth based on the principles of Carl Jung, neuroscience, and Eastern philosophies. We are your hosts, Deborah Maldonado
and Dr. Rob Maldonado,
founders of Creative Mind Coaching. All right, we're going to talk today about the creative mind. What is the creative mind and why you need one in your life?
If you don't have a mind, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. So it's so funny because Rob and I were just talking the other day about the creative mind in our coaching program.
And we had an earthquake in the middle of it.
So we knew we were onto something.
Right. The earth literally shook.
And I thought it was very apropos because when we do step out of our normal patterns, we have to shake things up. So I heard a quote that says, to get what you've never had, you have to do what you've never done. Mm. And so the creative mind is really an aspect of our mind that we can access to shake things up in our life and direct it in a positive way. But before we go into what the creative mind is, let's talk about what is mind and consciousness so we can all understand what that is, because there's so many different descriptions of it all over the place. So,
as one of my professors used to say, let us define our terms.
So let's define mind first.
Yes. What is mind? It's one of those things that everybody says and everybody assumes they know what they mean by mind, but the listener might have a completely different conception of what the mind is. Mm. So for our purposes, mind is your individual experience that includes your memories, your cognitive ability to solve problems, your perception of yourself and the world. That's the mind. That's the individual experience, the qualia, they call it in some studies. It's the quality of the world that you have as you, right? As your life, your experience.
And that includes the unconscious elements that we're not conscious of, that is our personal experience.
Yes. Dreams would be part of the mind. Absolutely.
Mm. Okay. So it's really our things that we have a personal experience mm-hmm. in the world.
Yeah. You experience them directly.
Okay. And then what is consciousness?
Now, consciousness, and there's debate about this, which is crazy, because up until recently in Western science, consciousness was a dirty word. Mm. When I started psychology back when the earth was still covered in ice, we never talked about consciousness. It was not an appropriate topic to be spoken of in mixed company.
Because you looked at the material, the brain and the physical behaviors, yes, and the physiology of the body and the emotions. And
that's right.
But you didn't look at the what you can't see.
Yes, yes. But and this definition comes more from the Eastern philosophy, which is primarily the Upanishads for us. The definition of consciousness is the pure, unadulterated awareness that exists before your mind comes into being.
Hmm.
And so that awareness is, let's say, it's a fundamental reality of the universe, not only of your mind, but of the whole universe. And then your mind arises within that awareness. That's consciousness.
Where in the materialistic point of view, they say that the brain, the physical, creates consciousness. But this is in the East, they knew thousands of years ago that it was consciousness that was created first.
Absolutely.
Then the person or individuals and animals and everything that we see in the world arises, and the universe arises from that consciousness.
Yeah, there's a beautiful quote in the Upanishads where it's asking, what allows the eye to see? What allows the ear to hear? What allows the senses to sense the world? That's consciousness. Mm. but it's invisible to us because in the West, we're used to thinking of consciousness as cognition. So anytime we're thinking, we say, there it is, that's consciousness. But that's just a function of the mind from the Eastern perspective.
Your thoughts are not consciousness.
No.
Your thoughts are actually happening in consciousness, yes. But they're not consciousness themselves.
That's right. They arise in that field of consciousness.
So then we know what mind is. We know what consciousness is. So what is the creative mind?
It's a process where we are able to go beyond our identification with our individual mind to tap into that deeper consciousness and to identify with that creative element that is called the creative mind. Now, here, mind, of course, we're using it in a different way, right? Because we're saying it's the creative mind, not the perceptual mind, not the ordinary mind that we are used to thinking about. So the creative mind is that element in us that touches on that pure awareness.
Our potential, possibility.
Yes.
Limitless part of ourselves.
And the way it's described in the wisdom traditions of the East is that it is unconditioned. In other words, everything we've experienced as individuals and has conditioned us and has taught us about what the world is like does not touch it. It's unaffected by all that experience. Whereas when we focus on our mind, on our individual mind, or on our what's called the ego, when we focus on our ego, we're very much acting and perceiving from our past experiences. Mm. When we are in touch with a creative mind, we're free from that.
Mm.
And so we're able to see infinite possibilities all around us.
Are you passionate about personal development and empowering others? And want to turn that passion into a new career? You can become a highly trained coach in our Creative Mind Life Coach Training Program. The next class begins soon, so visit us at creativemindmethod.com to find out more and schedule your free consultation. And before we get into how we make the shift, I wanted to talk about just a bit of how we are already able to, right now, access that creative mind. We have been aware of our creative mind. It's been with us since as long as we can remember in this life. And it is that witness. You know, a lot of Eastern traditions, they say the witness. And that's that awareness that's watching the experience this human being that you call you is having. And so we have two parts to our conscious mind that we're aware of already. It's not something that's buried deep within us. It's right here that we have a part of us that knows, has an experience, and then another part that is aware of that experience. So it's like a part that's experiencing and then the part that's watching. And the part that's experiencing is reacting and is in fear and is in looking at for survival strategies to navigate that experience. But the awareness itself, that creative mind, is watching in non-attachment. And there's actually a phrase in the Upanishads that says, there's two birds sitting in a tree. One bird is eating the sweet and sour fruits of life, while the other bird is watching in non-attachment. And so that is our conscious experience. We already have it already. So it's, you don't have to go to the Himalayas or, you know, go to a sweat lodge or... Unless you want to. You can do that too, but... Or meditate, go to a silent retreat to really experience it. You can experience it right now. The part of you that's aware that you're listening to a podcast right now is that creative mind. Now, here's the key. How do we get our mind, how do we get ourselves from using the creative mind, that's possibility, versus letting the ego just react and drive our experience? Yeah. And that's really what the creative mind method is about. It's about moving, a process of moving from egocentric survival experiences in life to accessing our true potential. We hear everyone talk about you can have your true potential, but how do we get there?
Yeah. Yeah. And this is where some of the Jungian concepts come into play, and they become useful to us. Because if you notice, these big ideas of consciousness and the mind, they're kind of abstract. Mm-hmm. Like people might ask, well, what do I do with that, right? It's an incredible thought, or it's interesting, or maybe, you know, it puts them to sleep, whatever. But how do we use it in our individual life? In other words, with the way we live today. Mm-hmm. I have to go to work. I have to drive my car. I have to take care of the kids. I have to call my mom.
I just want to float around and imagine a possibility all day. You got to get your bills paid.
Right. So the Jungian concepts really bring it down to our individual life experience level, where we can start to apply these principles in a very practical way. And I always say, whenever we get accused of being mystics,
we say, thank you.
I always say, the most practical thing you can do in your life is to correct your misperception of it. Mm-hmm. Because if you're misperceiving things, you're spending all your energy on the wrong things. Mm. You're misperceiving things. And that's not very practical. Practicality means your actions, your energy is going to be effective and efficient. And once you correct that misperception that the ego gives us, then you're very efficient. It's very practical.
Well, I've done personal development since I was in my 20s, and I think a lot of what's out there is about building up the ego and maintain, you know, ego maintenance, and making the ego more confident, making the ego think positive thoughts, making the ego feel that it can do more and be inspired and all those things. But the ego can never be inspired. The ego can never really change. It's built for survival. That survival is locked in unless you had an intense experience as in adulthood, like a car accident or some crazy thing happened that really shook you up. You're pretty much baked into the ego's pretty much set. You know, it's going to keep repeating the patterns. And for you to try to fix the ego or fix the past, you're really just wasting a lot of time, because you're really trying to fix something, first of all, that's not broken because it helped you survive. And second of all, it's in the past. It's not going to see possibility. So it's about speaking to it a language that it doesn't even know. So what we need to do is we have to find a way where we move past fixing the ego and giving it new skills and building it up to how do we have that bigger life. And I think for what really helped me is to understand that the creative self, this mind of ours that's much more than just our ego, wants us to have everything we want. If you think about it, it's that universal mind. It's the mind of God. It's the spiritual power of that unlimited potential. So it wants to grow. It's natural. So when we're not having the life that we want, we're feeling dissatisfied. We're actually feeling the nudge of the creative mind. The creative mind is saying, come on, let's get moving here. You know, there's a life to live here. That feeling that we're only here for a certain amount of time. Let's make the most out of it. That push. And then the ego is there to put on the brake. So one, you have this one part of your mind that's the foot on the gas, and the other part is on the brake, and you're constantly battling those two parts of your mind. And just fixing the ego is not, you're just trying to fix a brake that's always on a brake. You know, can't lift, it doesn't know how to lift it up.
Yeah, we see a lot of personal development focus on gaining new skills, getting confidence, getting a makeover, all that stuff. Of course, there's nothing wrong with that. That's good stuff. That's not going to get you from ego identification to the higher self or to the creative mind. What's going to get you there is, first of all, understanding that everything you're seeing, everything in the world, is a reflection of your own mind. And this is, again, from the Upanishads, the highest wisdom that humans have ever produced. And this is verified by neuroscience again. Everything you are perceiving is reflecting the structure and perception of your own mind. So in a very literal way, you're creating it. You are the author of your life.
You're handing out the scripts for everyone to play.
Everybody in your life, all the meaning you ascribe to situations is coming from you. It's not from out there. The illusion, of course, that we get from our senses, from the ego perception, is that things are independent of our mind. That they exist outside our mind somehow on their own, and that I have nothing to do with it. I'm just like an innocent bystander, observer, not engaged in the world. And that is a false perception from every angle that we can approach it from, philosophy, science, neuroscience, perceptual science. Everything tells us that is a false perception. You are the creator of your life in a very direct way.
So when you have a limitation show up in your life, it's not really to blame you that you created this, which a lot of people do. They beat themselves up. Their ego will use that. See, you know, you created that. You can't create anything. It's a very positive voice. I'm being sarcastic. But here's the thing is that the... it's an opportunity for you to say, I created this so I can create what I want. So if I can create what I don't want, that means I can create what I want. So instead of blaming yourself and feeling bad and feeling you're doing it wrong, like a lot of people say, I feel like I'm doing it wrong. So you're doing it right. Your mind is reflecting back what's in it. It's just like attracts like. It's out there. It's not this magnet of like that law of attraction idea that you hold a thought in your mind and it pulls in. It's more of you're just seeing a reflection. It's like it's reflecting what's inside. So if you're seeing that limitation, if you identify it as within you, you could say, wow, it's in me. So I have the controls. That is a very powerful shift. I have the controls. I just need to understand how to shift the gears and shift it in a new direction. Yeah. And that's really the process.
Yes. And like I said, here's where some of the Jungian ideas come in handy. Because we know the conscious awareness that's our perceptual everyday life is only half the story. There's an unconscious aspect to our mind that, by definition, it's unconscious, meaning we can't see it. We're not aware of it. And that part is conditioned. We're making assumptions. We're acting from that conditioning that is stored in our unconscious mind. You know, some people say programmed. Mm. I never liked that word because, you know, we're not computers. Mm. We are organic human beings, right? We absorb our experiences, and our mind is really good at guiding us through those learning experiences into making very quick assumptions about what the nature of reality is. So for survival purposes, it's perfect. Mm-hmm. But if you stay there, if you don't go beyond that survival mind, you're very limited because you're always going to see the world from that lens of how can I survive in this situation? And that's as far as you go. You're not able to use your imagination, your creativity, your dreams, your visions.
Here's the biggest obstacle that people have in their life, besides finding love, which is a big deal too, but finding their purpose. The survival mind will tell you you need the paycheck, that you cannot make money other than what you've been trained to do, and you need maybe an advanced degree or a degree to get a job that you want, and that you have to learn, and there's skills, and that there's someone else that will pay you. You can't do this on your own. And so many people are limited and unfulfilled in their life because of that idea of survival, that if I leave, if I don't get paycheck from the man, I'm going to die. There isn't anything else that's coming in. And to the contrary, if you're already receiving money from a corporate job, a certain amount of money, you're already conditioned to receive that money. It doesn't necessarily, but your mind assumes that it's only can come from that one place. When I quit my, or got laid off from my corporate job, within 18 months, I was back at my corporate salary as a hypnotherapist because I already had it in my mind that I made that much money, that I need to live that kind of lifestyle. So by default, you'll resonate to that lifestyle automatically. And so that's one thing. So a lot of you are doing personal development because you're looking for your purpose. You're looking to do something else, but you're thinking the paycheck is where it's at. And you're going to, that is really a falsity. It really does hold us back. So let's do an exercise. I'd like for you to think about if you can create anything you want. There's no limit of money, time, your age. I want you to write down a goal that you have on a piece of paper, or if you want, just hold it in your mind, that image of a year from now, 5 years from now, however far you want to go in the future, and just think about what would you want to create? Would, like, just stretch your mind. Just let it go into that imagination. And then the next thing I want you to do is either write down, if you're, it's a writing exercise, or if you're just doing, just sitting with it, I want you to be aware of the thoughts that come to your mind that tell you all the obstacles in the way of having that. And they will come up. Maybe at first they'll be, you'll be thinking, I just listened to that podcast and I feel like anything's possible and I can do this. And but eventually that little cheerleader voice is going to turn into negative Nancy saying, who you think you are, and it's going to be hard. And that's where you're going to see the difference between your creative mind that comes up with that imagination, that vision, and then the ego mind that says, yeah, you're never going to make a change. It's too scary. So that is my quick exercise for today.
Yeah, that's a good start.
Of course, that's not the whole process, but it's just to kind of have access to those two parts of your mind so you could start to be aware of it. We're going to do a part two of this series to deeper. Yes,
because I
you have so much more to say.
I was just getting started. No, we'll continue. Part two.
So let's leave today with the takeaways is that there's a difference between mind and consciousness.
Yes. The mind is our perceptual self, our very personal experience, the qualia, the quality of our life. And consciousness is the space, the pure awareness in which that life takes place. Mm.
And then the creative mind versus the ego mind. The ego mind is our conditioned survival mind that sees everything based on the past and based on the fact that it does not believe there's this other element of consciousness that's unlimited. It believes that you are just the body and that the world is separate and that you are just struggling to survive. And every day it's a battle to get people to like you and get your boss to give you a raise and make your bills, pay your bills on time, and that kind of ego thinking. The creative mind is that part of our mind that we're all have access to that gives us that imagination, the inspiration, the dreams that we have. If we didn't have a dream, the reason why you're listening to this podcast is because you have a dream that's bigger than your regular life. You're looking for answers. People don't do personal development because they're satisfied and they're just kind of want to just know themselves. People are looking for personal development because they're seeking. They're seeking a bigger, better life. And so that's where that creative mind comes in. And so we'll leave you with that. We will see you next week with part two of this creative mind, but we would love to hear from you. Just join us on our social media channels, say hello, and let us know how you like the show. Don't forget to subscribe to us and leave a review. If you like the show, we'd love to have an honest review.
Awesome. See you next time.
Take care.